give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Blessed be His wonderful name. You happy? He abides. Makes all the difference. If He wasn't abiding, I wouldn't want to be here. I'm reminded of a statement Brother Branham tells us that he said, the Reverend Billy Graham, he said nice things about him. He said that Billy Graham had said at one point in time that if the rapture were to take place, if the Holy Spirit were to be lifted from the earth, that not one half of 1% of the people would know the difference. And this was Billy Graham saying that, right? Well, we sure would, right? So we're not looking so much for His coming as we are for our going. Amen. And where He goes, I want to go. Amen. You know, we don't want to go through the tribulation period because we're scared or worried, or we know that it'll be a horrible time. It'll be a time of trouble such as the world has never known. But that's not why we want to go in the rapture. I want to go because if He isn't here, I don't want to be here either. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So our brother, Isaac, God bless you. Nice to have you back. Did you have a good time in Alaska? We're going to have our brother Steve come out and minister for us here in just a moment. I was trying to remember when exactly we met. I think it's probably been 15, 16 years ago. I was out at Brother Joe Green's meetings in North Carolina in August, his missionary meetings, probably 2010, 2011. And that's when I met Brother Steve and his wife Elizabeth. And they've been out our way a few times, and it just hasn't worked out for him to minister for us. But it did this time, so we're thankful for that. And they attend the Full Gospel, let's get this, Revival Center, is that right, in Virginia. And so we're going to have our brother come out and just take his liberty, whatever the Lord's put on his heart. And I'm thankful to get the night off. So that doesn't mean that I'm taking the night off from church. I'm just taking the night off from preaching. So I'll just pull in the gift, and you guys pull tonight as well. Amen. He counts the stars. As our brother prepares to come, He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small, He knows my name. Every move that I make, every cheer that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I'm counting on that tonight. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know what every move that I make, knows my name. He knows my name.
God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to be in His service. Thank you all for having us out here, and we'll just have for confidence, brother, for letting me get myself out of the way. If you come to hear from me, I hope you're disappointed, but you won't be, because I want to hear from Him, and I'd be disappointed if all He did was hear from me. I don't have nothing to say of my own. I just want the Lord to speak. We have one message, and I don't want to say anything that's contrary to what this tape said. So God bless you. If you have your scriptures with you, we'll turn in our Bibles to Romans 8 and 33. Privileged to worship with you Sunday, and the Spirit of God just poured out the Word of God, and it was a real blessing. I was blessed just to fellowship with you and then have communion with you too. I really appreciate that. I was certainly blessed and just been feasting on that all week, or up to now anyway. I appreciate that. And I want to say thank you and God bless you. And thank you for making the Spirit of Christ welcome in your midst, for creating that atmosphere. He's the great one that's among us, isn't he? He's the greatest one. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, Lord Jesus. Lord, as I stand before a portion of your bride, would you help me to get out of the way that you could speak to them, that you can fellowship with them, Father. Lord, that you can break that sweet manna to their hearts in the secret places. Lord, have your way in each life. Let us all be yielded vessels unto you, Father. We love you. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, for keeping your appointments. Amen. We love you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. By God's help and grace, we'd like to speak on tonight of claim your God-given rights. We're Americans. The spirit of Laodicea is everywhere. You hear about people's rights and American rights and American privileges and all that. But as Christians, we forfeit our American rights, but we have Christian rights. In order to claim our God-given rights, we have to lay aside our personal rights. As sheep, we yield ourselves to Him. As Paul said, you know, he was bound by fetters of love, only doing what the Lord Jesus would want him to do. And he was not his own. We're not our own. We are prisoners of Christ. And we thank God for that. In the days of Gideon, there was a man. His name was Gideon. You read about him in the book of Judges. And we call him a Christian believer for his day, an Old Testament believer. And he believed Jehovah God. He heard of a God of times past that had opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel. The God that came down by the pillar of fire and vindicated the prophecy to Abraham and said, your seed shall sojourn in the land for 400 years, but I'll deliver them with a mighty hand. And this was the same God that gave Abraham the covenant that thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And God made many promises. And you know, Gideon, as the story would go, well, he believed every promise and never staggered at it at all. And my, when he was 3 years old, why he did exploits for God? Oh, no amens. Okay. Well, it doesn't say that, does it? Okay. Sorry, I have my ways about me. I hope you forgive me and maybe attribute it to my ignorance. Lack of manners or something, but we know the story doesn't start off like that for Gideon, who was a seed of Abraham, who did possess the gates of the enemy. Much like you and I, we say, oh Lord, who are you talking to, me? He was afraid of the enemies at times. He had to do things by night at times. When God called him, he said, oh God, where are the miracles if God be with us? And then he had to do some cleaning up in his own house. And had to destroy his father's idols. You can have a confidence in a man of God like that. He can run his own house first before he starts to minister to the children of Israel that he has sent to be their judge there and to bring them a mighty deliverance. But yet, it was one day, Gideon, he stood up on the promise of God. He took God at his word. It took him maybe some convincing. He didn't quite realize at first what God had said about him. And it's more important for us to realize what God says about us than how we see ourselves sometimes. And when Gideon was here, he thought, oh, mighty man of valor, me? But the Lord had called him, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And he had to go destroy his father's idols, and being a human and a body of flesh. Well, he waited till it went around nighttime and he cleaned house, and the next day everyone was mad because the idols were gone. That little extra tradition they decided to bring into the message of the hour was no longer welcome. He destroyed the idols. And brother and sister, that's what we need to do in our own life, is to destroy any idols that's contrary to thus saith the Lord. Oh, that way God can move in our life. You know, sin separates us from God. It gets us away from where his blessings can flow through, and there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. But they had those things there because they didn't believe Jehovah God fully. But, you know, the people did what was right in their own eyes. One day, though, Gideon claimed his God-given rights and believed what God said about him. We can look at Shamgar. There's only a few verses, short part of the scripture that's written about him. And he was a mighty man of God, one of the heroes of the faith that Paul wrote about. And yet he faced his own humanity, his own defeats, time after time, year after year, defeat after defeat. But he was a mighty man of God nonetheless. And one day when the Philistines come down to take his corn again, he thought, we finally going to make it this year. The wife and the children were by, and we thought, we're going to make it. We're not going to have to go hungry. The Lord Jehovah has provided for us. And then come the Philistines once again. Tromp, tromp, tromp. Tromp, tromp, tromp. The troops were marching in. He said, not again. I've worked hard. I don't know if we can make it this time. And he had an ox goad in his hand. But more importantly, he had a promise that he was a child of God, that he was a son of Abraham, and that he was going to possess the gates of his enemies. So what he decided to do was to claim his God-given rights, live or die. He was going to stand upon the promise of his day, the promise of his hour, the promise that he heard through Joshua, how it was told of old that you shall possess the land of your enemies, that Jehovah God was going to be with you, that you didn't have to do what the devil wanted you to do, that you didn't have to give your blessings over to the devil, that they were given to you by God and they're for you and for your family. And he stood up on the word of God and claimed his rights as a Christian, an Old Testament Christian, if we could say it that way, but as a believer. And God backed him up. God backed him up with the supernatural. A natural man, but with a supernatural promise and a supernatural God. And God came in and vindicated. Oh yes, Shamgar, you are a believer. I'll fight for you. I'll fight in you. I'll fight with you. And a miracle was taking place because that man stood for his God-given rights. Promise, that was an Old Testament promise. A man without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A man without what we have today. Yet, look what it did for him. What do you think it'll do for us? We can look at Joshua. He stood faithfully by Moses. He stood there and gave a good report of the land, a good report of the promise. And yet, oh, there's some discouragement in the church. Some people didn't know if Moses' message was true anymore, and they decided to organize themselves a camp to stay back in Egypt and not to go up and take the land. But yet, Joshua said, God has promised us this. Here is the evidence of the land. See, Joshua and Caleb had evidence of the promise being true. They experienced it for themselves. And then when the others went up, they said, well, okay, we'll go. We've sinned. Well, they couldn't do it on their own, and they failed because of that. It was a supernatural promise from a supernatural God. But yet, Joshua held on through the times of discouragement. He held on in the times in the wilderness for 40 years. And he stayed with the report that God had given him and claimed his rights as a child of God. And he inherited the land, and so did Caleb, the true believer. He stood on the promise of taking his inheritance because of what God said. He was able to say, sun, stand still, moon, hang over Ajalon. And then all the other battles that they fought, they won in the name of the Lord God Jehovah. He stood upon the rights that God gave him. That's your land. I have given it to you. This wasn't something they thought, well, let us go up and do this. We're going to go and take this land because we deserve it. We earned it. No, it was the grace of God given to them by a promise, but they had to act upon the promise of God and take it for themselves in their heart and put the action to it and let their faith become works. Remember, when the others tried to do the works without the faith, it didn't work. They messed up there. And if we try to go through the works without first getting in the Spirit, well, we'll have a mess up there. We can look at David. When it came down to the time of battle, an intellectual Saul, why? He was hiding in the trenches. They were shaking in their boots. But the boasting of Goliath fell in the wrong ears that day. And David stood upon his God-given rights. Not being a warrior from his youth, he stood upon the promise of God and possessed the gates of the enemy and claimed his rights. He said, I'm a child of God, and he won the battle. But it wasn't for his own victory only. It was for the others with him. When he cut off Goliath's head, he held it up and said, see, look what you can do. It wasn't just for him. It was for all of God's people that had the same promise. Look what faith in God can do. Look how you can cut that cancer out of your life with faith. Look how you can overcome any sickness, any devil, any disease by staying with thus saith the Lord. How Jesus Christ makes intercession upon your confession. Let's look at what Brother Branham said here. And in questions and answers, his sister Dolores was trying to receive the Holy Ghost. And now in questions and answers here, he was saying, now talking about Paul, you know, how the flesh war, the outer man and the inner man war one another. And he said, Paul said, my flesh always wants to yield to that. He says, your flesh does too. But the law of the Spirit of God in the heart overcomes the flesh and makes the body obey what the heart says do. Look then, if it'll do that for a sinner, then won't it work for sickness too? The law of the Spirit of God in the heart knows that by His stripes we were healed. They stand there with their power to make that sickness in that body obey them because it's a devil. There you are. Whoo, that's got cream on it that deep, I tell you. All right. So then he goes explaining something here. In 107 he says, the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So this thing is the flesh. This thing is not redeemed. This is my greatest enemy. And yours is your greatest enemy. In this flesh and in your flesh, the law of sin and death works in it. This thing is not redeemed. It's a body of sin. But in your heart, you that have been born again, in your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says do. That's exactly right. Now, that's what Paul said always in the flesh. I'm too tired. I'm unable. I'm not sufficient. I cannot do it. All right. Now, that's your flesh talking. That's what you have to overcome by the life that is within you. Your flesh tells you, I'm tired on Sunday morning when it's time to get up. And church starts later than work, perhaps. And you can wake up for work, and yet, mercy. Saturday night, you thought you went to bed early, maybe, and you get up, and you feel like you're tireder than you've been all week. That's your flesh. You're in a spiritual warfare. We're in the greatest battle ever fought. And sometimes it's not only the devil. We're fighting the devil every day, but this flesh, it wants to yield over to that. I'm tired. Oh, I can't do it. Well, if we're resting on our ability, well, you can't do it. But we rest upon what He's already done for us. Now, he says here about his sister Dolores. He was talking about she wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. And then she said, what made me feel that way? Just at the time, I should have felt good. Brother Branham said, it's the devil. You was just ready to receive it. And he said, I put a little damper on it. And it goes, fan her a little bit, you know, kind of cool it down. He says, but oh my, that's when you rise. Yeah. Now, when, how many, and I've been there before. Sure. When you're, and many of you have too. When Satan would come up to the altar with you or wherever, you know, wherever you're at there. And he says, oh, you must not be a child of God. You would have done had it and you would have done like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and how they did this. And get you to compare yourself with others, which is not wise. But but Satan, he'll use your flesh and said, you should have felt this way. And oh, and rely on the feeling, rely on the sensation, rely on this, and point you away. What you're supposed to do is look at the promise. Let me get back to what he is saying here now. He says, she said, what made me feel that way? Just at the time I should have felt good. And he said, it was the devil. He's saying you was just ready to receive it. And I said, I'll put a fan her a little bit, put a damper on it, cool her down a little bit. But my, that's when you rise and claim your God-given rights. That's what Paul was meaning. Amen. You claim your God-given rights. You have a promise in Acts 2:38. If you haven't received that, it's a God-given right to the children of God. It's the divine prescription that was written on the day of Pentecost by Dr. Simon Peter. It's still good for today. As long as God is calling, God's filling the prescription, the signs still follow the believers. And you can have, the skies are still full of the real. And God wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it. But it's a God-given right to the believer. Because they were sons, they received the Holy Ghost. You are in the mind of God. Satan would like to tell you at those times, oh, well, maybe it wasn't for me. And so forth. Well, he's a liar. If God called you and he drew you, that was God drawing you. There's a sister that had a dream one time in questions and answers. Brother Branham, she said, what shall we do? Something has settled over me that I cannot break through. Last fall I dreamed I was lost in white sand. It was getting dark. I couldn't find my way. The dream stayed with me since last fall. Now I am as one groping in darkness. My son Irvin and the wife were included in the dream. They were also in darkness. We are in desperation. I believe God will show you what is in our hearts now. If we are doing wrong or sinning places, we want to be right. And he says he doesn't know the lady. But he says, if you're here, lady, here's your trouble. Aren't you glad for a prophet? We couldn't interpret the dream like that. But the prophet of God could. You know, it sounds like a tragic thing. They were in desperation over this. And he says, you've let something happen to you that's made you nervous. Because being in white sands represents purity and righteousness. And he says, you're just letting Satan put one over on you. So here she was all tore up. Thought she was groping in darkness. She thought she was lost in darkness. And then she let Satan put one over on her. And it caused her to be nervous. A spirit of nervousness crept in. He didn't say, well, let's just say what he said here. He says, you're only nervous. And by doing this and thinking this, you're making the rest of your family nervous. Stop it, or stop doing it, and claim your God-given rights. Your dream only proves by the interpretation that you're in white sand, everything's all right. It's just you yourself nervous. So this was a Christian lady. And she went through this time that Satan was making her think she was lost in darkness. Now he says, you let one member of the family get nervous. It goes to the next member. The first thing you know, you're all fussing and going on. One member of the family kind of gets upset about something. It upsets the other. First thing you know, the whole family's upset. He said, it's Satan. Then, if one member of the family rejoices, let the rest of them rejoice with it. So, everyone of the family try to do that. He didn't say they didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't say they weren't Christians. He said Satan got in between people. Or Satan was causing the family to be upset. And it wasn't because she was an insufficient believer. But she just let the devil put that upon her. She let him just slip in there just a little bit. And the nervousness came about and it got everybody else upset. Two people with the Holy Ghost. The devil can get between them. And both of them's filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you let Satan do it, he'll get between you and you'll be fussing. Both filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want something in the Bible there, you can read the book of Acts. There's a little bit of division there. Oh, Paul full of the Holy Ghost wanted this believer to go with him. And they said, well, no, this one needs to go. And, oh, this one went first with me. We're going to go and keep it like this. Oh, no, we need to take this brother here. Full of the Holy Ghost, the first church age. You know, no false doctrine. It's just Satan got him. And the contention was so sharp. So just it's important to recognize, you know, who we're up against. And realize that's not that brother. That's not that sister. The devil gave you an idea. And you listen to it. And you let them pull one over on you that you wouldn't shake their hand or whatever else. Now, but he tells us the remedy to this. He says, when one member of the family rejoices, then let the rest of them rejoice with it. So everyone of the family, try to do that. Try, each one of your children, to help your papa, mama. Papa, you try to help your children. And don't let that gloomy, unbelieving spirit get around you. You are Christians. You are born of the Spirit of God. You are the salt of the earth. God, you have God-given rights. And the Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Don't think about the wrong thing. He says, sister, I think that's your sister, or your trouble, sister dear. If I could, I could dwell that on a long time. Well, we'll go on there. But, you know, you create the atmosphere. You're responsible. I'm responsible for creating the atmosphere around me. What we think upon, what we feed upon, creates the atmosphere around us. If we're thinking on negative things, we'll be condemning, criticizing. But if we think on what the Bible tells us to think upon, the things that are lovely and has virtue and so forth, think upon how God loves you, how He's blessed you, how He's saved you. He loves you. He's been with you. He'll go with you to the end of the world. It creates another atmosphere. And that right mental attitude toward the divine promise of God will bring it to pass. But if you want to stay in the gloomy atmosphere, you won't be able to have faith. You won't be able to see vision of you getting better. Oh, I'll always have this all my life. And you're signing for the devil's rattlesnakes. Send those things back to the sender and claim your God-given rights. You don't have to sign for Satan's rattlesnakes. You don't have to have a gloomy, unbelieving atmosphere. And these were Christians, people that had the Holy Ghost. But an unbelieving, gloomy atmosphere came around. He didn't say they weren't believers. He didn't say they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, my. But the devil, he won't tell you that. He'll say, well, if you were a true believer, oh, how could you be part of the bride? How could you? Who do you think you are? Oh, mercy. Do you think God loves you? Now, you know you're wrong, and He knows you're wrong. But if you keep listening to Him preaching the gospel, He's not going to get you out. You need to go make things right and say, I'm sorry. Now, that might not be in the modern English language, but it's a part of the Christian language. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, brother. We repent to God, but if I do something to Him, I got to make that right with Him. You know, you can just say, well, he owes me this, or she owes me that, or I'm going to wait for it. No, you're the one hurting yourself. Oh, and you're getting robbed when you do that. And you're letting Satan put one over on you. Do we have time for maybe another example here? Okay. I didn't send this one in, so this will, you'll have to maybe listen on this one. It's another questions and answers. Aren't you glad people have these things up on their hearts so they can help us? That they weren't saying, well, I'm afraid what people's going to think about me. I don't even want to put it anonymous because they might like to figure it out. Aren't you glad they just said, help me, Lord? Oh, God, you have a prophet on the scene. I want to write this out. And Brother Branham could know who they was. And, okay. All right. Well, he said another question. He says, this is in 62. If you ever want to look it up, question 172. He said, this person said, I've lived many years in sin until I found the Lord. Please, Brother Branham, I have sinned again and I am not worthy to come before you in this holy place. Please tell me if I can be restored holy again. Please help me, Brother Branham. I have a devil in me. Help me. Will you lay your hands upon me and restore me again? So this person is in desperations also. Sounds like they're in a dark place. Well, so what do you say? He said, yes. He read it again. And then said, please tell me if I can be restored whole again. Yes, you have not sinned, my friend, so far in God, but what you could be restored. If you had sinned so far that you could not be restored, you'd never want to be restored. See? But as long as there's something dealing with your heart, you're still in line of restoration. Guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. I've sinned many times, every day, every one of us do things we don't want to do. It's in our heart. You don't want to be that way, or you wouldn't ask this question. That's proof that God is still dealing with you. You've probably gotten nervous.
Well, there's another nervous devil upsetting somebody, making them doubt the promise of God and keeping them from claiming their God-given rights. As a Christian, as a believer, we're supposed to be happy and free in the greatest battle ever fought yet, anyway. And yet, Satan puts a nervous spirit upon people. But you don't have to have it, friends. You can be happy. You can recognize who you are and claim your rights and cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the promises of God and said, Satan, I ain't going to listen to you. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to obey His Word, and I'm going to yield myself to His Word, and I'm going to die out to every thought of my own and line up with thus saith the Lord and do what I got to do. But I'm not going to listen to you. You know, you probably got nervous, probably Satan telling you that you can't be restored. He's lying, certainly he is, because look, if there's a deep calling, there's got to be a deep to respond. If there's a hunger for something, that something's got to be somewhere or you'd have no hunger for it. As I've said a lot of time, before there's a fin on a fish's back, there had to be a water first. He said the same thing about the tree. You know, there had to be an earth for the tree. And you know, these things, you know that how he said, deep calleth unto the deep. If there's something in your heart calling out, it's because God put that desire there. If it's for the things of God, for the Word of God. If you're desiring to step up and walk with God and walk in a higher plane, you can. Because it's God telling you, you can. No man has sought God at any time. It wasn't you seeking God. It was God seeking you. You might have thought you sought God, but it was God seeking you, seeking to save that His own, that His predestinated seed. No man can come to God except God calls him, draws him. Now, there is a place you can cross that you can't get back. But you're down there again in the same shape you was. It goes to show you only fell from grace. And he says, now, here, you only fell from grace, though. Backsliding is not lost. I want somebody to tell me where backsliding is lost and prove it by the Bible. Backslider is not lost. He's just out of fellowship. David lost his fellowship. He lost the joy of his salvation, but he didn't lose his salvation. Now, the Holy Ghost will keep you from doing what David did. The Comforter, Brother Branham said his Comforter would keep him from doing that. Now, we don't want to use David, a man without the Holy Ghost, as a type for us today or anything like that. But even, you know, somebody that does that, God can still restore him. They might have realized they weren't where they claimed to be, but it's still God, if there's something in your heart, don't never forget, if there's something in your heart calling you for more of God, that means there's more of God for you. And you don't have to listen to the devil about what people are going to think. Well, I did this. Well, don't worry about that. God's wanting you to talk to Him. Oh, God already knows about it. The angels of heaven know about it. Oh, there's so much legalism today of touch not. And you don't do things legally. I don't come to church legally. Oh, my. No, he said, I don't love my wife because I have to. But I love her because I love her. I'm paraphrasing this now. I don't come to church as all. Pastor's going to think I'm backslid or brother so-and-so or this, though. No. I love God. I can't wait to get in His presence. I can't wait to let my lick of fire join with the other believers and have the fullness of the presence of God among us. The fullness of the Godhead among us. Where anything can happen. Not one of you has to go home sick. Not one of you has to go home backslid. Not one of you has to go home the same way that you came in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can walk out closer to God or further away, but it's your attitude toward the Word of God. You can lay hold of the promise and claim it as mine and drive your stake down on that and say, Lord, it's for me. I accept it. I believe it. I'm taking it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve Him because we love Him. We love one another. Oh, my. Oh, it's got to be in our heart. It's a love affair. God don't make you serve him. You can't live off of somebody else's experience. You gotta have it your own relationship to him. You have to do your praying for you. You have to do your Bible reading for you. You have to listen to the prophet's voice yourself. Read the books and so forth. And you have to feed the Holy Ghost within you. You come and get fed well by your pastor, by the ministry that's here. And that's good. But you still, when you're by yourself, you still got to entertain the Holy Ghost. You still got to feed him. He only feeds on the word. Brother Brandon was saying how he was there in the pulpit and he was fighting his own flesh. And he was just barely kind of holding on. And everything, his own flesh told him, you're too tired. You're not able. He had pains going through him and so forth. And he was doing everything he could. But he said, I must stand here for him. It's not because I have to. He wouldn't care about whether I did or not. If it was like that, if I die, I go to heaven anyhow. But I'm coming because I love him. You serve God because you love him, not because you got to do it. And then he says, I'm not true to my wife because I'm afraid she'd divorce me. I'm true to her because I love her. And if you love the Lord with all of your heart, you don't have to worry about these things. If you make a mistake, you don't sin willfully. You've just done something wrong. Seeing you slip back. True, you was up here in fellowship, but you dropped back down into this must down here again. He said, what is it? It's like the eagle they saw out in the Cincinnati Zoo. It was an eagle. When it was caged up and couldn't fly, wasn't being fed a good diet, it was still an eagle, but it was just in a cage because of some man that has trapped it. He said he'd love to free that bird so it could fly in the heavenlies again. Oh, he said, I hate to see something pinned up like that and caged up. And I hate to see a man that calls himself Christian pinned down by some kind of old church creed. And telling him what he has to believe and can't believe and all that. I'm going to skip a little bit of this one. But if you want to read it, you can. He says, now, the old eagle, he knew he was born for the heavenlies, but he was trapped in a cage. And he wanted to get back up there. And he tells his sister about that. And he says, the horrible sight I ever saw is a man that was to be born a son of God and then pinned up in some creed and looks up there and sees a God that really wants to serve, but he just can't do it. Well, they won't let him. He's pinned up. That's a horrible thing. Then he goes back and tells his sister, yes, sister, brother, whoever wrote this, if you've fallen down here, it don't mean you're lost. You're an eagle that got into a pen. That's all. You're caged up down here and seeing again. You don't want to be there. That's the reason you're looking upward. There you are. And then he reads the other part of the question. Oh, Brother Branham, I've once lived up here. Is there a way here? He says, I once lived up there. Is there a way here? He says, yes. Then he reminds him, he tells a story about the crow on the farm. And it was tied down and it couldn't go anywhere. It was just tied. It'd go back and forth. One day somebody freed it and took the rope off of it. It was free, but it didn't know it was free. We go call him Johnny Crow. And then crows would say, come on, it's winter's coming. The winter's coming. You're going to freeze to death. And he said, I wish I could fly with them. I'm paraphrasing that part, but he couldn't do the things the other birds were doing that was just like him. Now you're eagles now. You're not crows. I'm not calling you crows. Okay. But that's a story now. And he wanted to be free. And he said, he said, if he could look back and say, I can't do it. See, he had been so used to being tied, he just thought he was still tied. Now, you may think you're tied too, brother or sister that wrote this question. You may think the devil's got you tied here, down here, but he's lying. There's a man one time that come to the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He untied you. Don't you believe it? You don't have to stay down there. No, sir, you're free. He died in your place to take away your sins. You just believe on him and flap your wings and fly away with the rest of them. Don't stay in that pit of the devil. Then he reads the other part of the question. Hey, thank you, brother. He says, now will you lay hands upon me and free me from that? Sister dear or brother dear, I'd sure like to lay hands upon you, but that wouldn't free you. What would free you is to understand you're already free. You're already untied. You see, you can hear it and think it mentally, but you got to believe it. And Jesus Christ, through his prophet, is saying, you're already free. The work is already done. Jesus Christ, for your healing, has already paid for your healing. By his stripes, you were healed already. Hallelujah. But you've got to claim it. You've got to confess it to you for yourself. And he intercedes upon your confession and makes it come to pass in your life. Same thing with being the free here. You've got to accept it now. He says, you don't have to worry about being free. You're already free. Jesus made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You're free as you can be. You don't have to be tangled up. Laying hands is just a tradition. We might do that. Sure, I could do that. But it still wouldn't set you free until you accept what he done for you. So we looked at the finished work of Calvary. Not the laying hands is in the Bible. Mark 16, sure, we believe that. But we've got to believe the promise is already done. It's already paid for. It's already ours. We've got to claim it as ours. We've got to accept our God-given rights and claim them. Will you lay your hands on him by faith upon him? Say, Lord, I believe it. Now up there you come. He said, that's right. You confess your sins. He that sins will not prosper, covers his sins. But he that confesses his sins, there you will get your freedom and justification when you're willing to say, I've sinned, I'm wrong. That's what you said here. I've fallen, I've sinned, I'm dead wrong. Is there a chance for me to be whole again? Absolutely. The minute you desire it, that shows that God dropped the lifeline down to pick you up. Just raise up on his lifeline of faith and prayer and move right on up into the rest of the eagles and go flopping away. That's right. Laying hands is a great thing. I believe in that. Sure do. But that isn't what does it. I can lay hands upon people this week in and out, but that wouldn't do it until you accept what Christ did for you. That's only my sanction is laying hands. And they laid it on the elders and so forth. They did those things. It was their sanction before God that they give their faith to it. They have to give their faith to believe it. But you have to believe it, though. Right. Another quote here, and why, he says, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He hadn't lost his salvation, but lost his joy. I think that goes about 95% of the church today losing the joy of their salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's 61, 128. So there was something there that people were losing the joy of their salvation. So, you know, we are promised joy. You can read in the scripture. We might not have time to get to that. We probably won't go there tonight. But the lady that had lost a coin from her head, her husband was coming home. Her Lord was coming home. And that represented a virtue. And she had to sweep the house to find it. She called her friend in for a prayer meeting, you know. And she found it and she rejoiced because she found that token there, that coin, that symbol of her virtue. She didn't lose, she had lost it where it was, but she was still virtuous. She just had to find that before her Lord came back. We're promised the joy of our salvation, but you've got to claim it. You've got to believe that God wants you to have it. Satan will say, oh, you've done something wrong here, and he'll try to beat you down with a legalistic mind of something, and you got to do penance, and you got to do so many this, Hail Mary here, and you got to do this, and work this up, and you got to earn it back. No, sir. Repent of your sin and claim the promise of God and enjoy the joy of your salvation. You don't have to be sad all the time. You can be happy in the Word of God and create an atmosphere around you where God and the angels of heaven are pleased to dwell therein. Oh, you can entertain angels unaware. You're believers. This is what you're called to. I hope that's okay to kind of read that long quote. But okay, thank you. My, for healing. Oh, all right. Brother Bradham tells the congregation to repeat a prayer after him, and I'll read this. Speaking of, it was at the end of the service and deep call to the deep. And the prayer is this, Almighty God, creators of heaven and earth, author of everlasting life, send thy blessings upon thy servant, for I'm in desperately in need. I have seen, I have heard the gospel. I believe now, Lord, help thou my unbelief. And now for a long time, Satan has bound me, but I realize tonight that he has no legal rights to hold me. I am a Christian, and I claim my God-given privileges. And from right now on, I accept my healing, and I'll go from this building glorifying you, standing on your word. That's the only place we can stand, friends. Everything else is going to be moved, but the word of God shall not be moved. And here he was telling the people to claim their God-given rights. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Get your mind in the, get your face in this book and how to Facebook. You know, that'll help you a whole lot. And looking at everybody's gossip and, oh, this one's doing this and this, well, this church is doing this. Maybe we should do this. And, well, this one's doing that and this one's doing this. But, you know, one time Peter said, well, what's going to happen to this man? Well, you prophesied to me, Lord. Well, what's going to happen to me? What about him? What is that to you? Follow thou me. You don't need to be in everybody else's business. And I'm not condemning you. If you want to keep contact with your family and share pictures, sure. Okay, that's fine. But when you're being nosy and gossiping and wondering about everybody else's business and you need to be up and about the Father's business, that's not going to be spiritual food for you. The Holy Ghost cannot feed on gossip. Oh, did you see what so-and-so did? God don't want you to look at all that stuff. He doesn't want you to waste your time. He wants you to redeem your time. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. But we need to be up and about the Father's business. I don't know how I got there. Oh, sorry. Well, no, I shouldn't say I'm sorry for saying I'm sorry. Maybe the Lord. Okay. Sorry for apologizing. I just don't know how I got there. Praise God. Okay. But, you know, those things will hurt us. The Holy Ghost feeds on the Word now. How are we going to get fed at the table if we don't eat? How are we going to feed him the white dog? You can look up those quotes about the white dog and the black dog, and this flesh is that old black dog, and you know it wars against you. But you know you got to feed that inner man. That you got to feed the Holy Ghost within you. You got Jesus Himself. It was so important for Jesus to go aside and pray and get alone and pray to God. How much more for us? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, yet he had to take time to pray. And how much for us? Much more in this day that we're living in. Satan will lie to you and he'll try to tell you you're not going to have this and you can't have that, but he's a liar. Satan has no legal rights to hold you. You are a Christian and you need to claim your God-given privileges. Here he says, in the greatest battle ever fought, I did have these notes before Sunday, just so you know. I didn't know I was going to go that direction until later in the week, though. But here's what we are. I just want to yield myself to him, and we'll just see what the Lord does. Okay. Satan's army brings diseases. That's what Satan is. He's a destroyer. Satan, the whole kingdom, Satan, sickness, death, sorrow, frustrations, and worry. It's all on Satan. God is life, faith, joy, and peace over here. It's light and darkness. They can't dwell together in your life. You can't entertain these things and the spirit, the things of God at the same time. You've got to go with God's way. You can't live in both atmospheres at the same time. You can be, this is the battlefield, and this is the control tower. Now, there's two great forces that's coming together right now. They're battling. They're battling right here in the building now. They'll battle day by day with you. Every force, Satan, following you along, that great, big, kingly, priestly Goliath trying to scare the liver out of you. He's great, big, kingly. He'll say he has authority. A king has authority. He'll say he has power. That's his claim. That's his boast. He comes to you something real big. Oh, priestly Goliath. Oh, so he'll come to you as religious. Big religious devil. Oh, claiming all this power. Look how big I am. I made so-and-so to fall. And he's trying to scare the liver out of you. Okay. Hang on to your liver. He's trying to scare it out of you. Hang on to the Word of God now. All right. But now, and he's going to follow you along. That doesn't mean you're not a believer. Brother Branham says this. He says, you're fortified, amen, with the gospel, with the word of truth around your loin. Glory to that preacher. That's what it is. The helmet of salvation, faith, the shield of faith, the sword, waving it in your hand. Satan, I'm coming to meet you. You're going to have to meet Satan for yourself and fight him yourself. You are the overcomers of this age. You can't let everybody do your fighting for you. You have to gird your loins and take the sword of the Word of God and believe God for yourself. And when you're on those sacred sands with the pillar of fire, that's great. But you're going to have to fight the devil just like Jesus did. And Jesus gave us the example when he was in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He defeated Satan with the Word of God. He didn't even use a supernatural power. He stayed upon the Word of God and said, it is also written. And that was to give us an example that the weakest Christian could defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, in any condition with the Word of God. And when you get on your knees and pray before God, all hell shakes before you. Satan's afraid of you, but he's bluffing you. He wants you to be afraid of him because he realizes who you are. If you're not afraid to fight him, then he has to run and be defeated just like he was in the wilderness when Jesus stood up on the Word of God. He was so bold that he came to the Word made flesh. And it didn't bother him. He wasn't afraid to come to Jesus, the Word made flesh for his day, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and try to misquote the Scripture. You think you're the Son of God? So if he does that to him and did that to him, won't he do it to you? Do you think you can be the bride? But you can defeat him the same way. Stand on the Word of God, friends. And he'll run and he'll depart for a season. So if he's following you, turn around and say, devil, ain't got time for you. If he's trying to boast and claim authority, he has lost every authority now, but he'll claim authority. Oh, this is your cancer. This is your diabetes. This is your sickness. And he wants you to confess it because if you don't confess it and don't give him the glory and don't give him the confession against the Word of God, he can't touch you. You confess, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He cannot give those rattlesnakes to you. He'll come and knock on the side door. He'll come knock on the other door, front door, back door, send it Amazon, UPS. That don't work, he'll send it FedEx. Or, he'll bring it over. Hey, a friend, the neighbor comes over. Hey, this package came to my house. It has your name on it. It's got to be, I signed for you. You're not looking too good today. What's happened to you? Don't sign for that. Back to sender. Oh, you don't let your friend talk you into something that's out of the Word of God. You stay with that Word. Stay with that promise. Oh, you're fortified with the gospel, with the Word of truth. Now, Satan can come to meet you. You can meet. He says, I'm coming to meet you. You meet me in the name of science. You meet me in the name of culture. You meet me in the name of organization. You meet me this, that, or the other. But I meet you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I'm coming after you. Give away. Even death itself can't stand there. Not even death. Not even death itself can stand there. He says, chop a hole through it. That's right. Oh, you're going to die. We've got hospice called and a backup too. Chop a hole through it. Unless God told you that, you don't accept. You don't sign for that. You tell them you got a rapture to make. And if it's your time to go, well, sure. But don't, you know, the devil's going to come and tell you it's your time before it's your time. Elijah wanted to leave early. He couldn't do it. But he did leave it at another time in a rapture. He had a rapture to go in. He couldn't go up there and die all by himself when Jezebel didn't like him. Okay. All right, praise the Lord. You know, Gideon had to fight Satan. Shamgar had to take that ox goad and stand on the promise of God and realize, if anybody's going to fight my battle, it's got to be me. To stand on the promise of God, but I'm not going to win this by my own strength. I'm going to win it by standing on the promise of God. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Let's stand on the promise of God. Let's claim our God-given rights. You don't have to worry about if you're going to make it or not. Brother Branham says, you've already made it. Not, will I make it? I've already made it. And not even that, he's already made it for me. Okay? See, I want to see it manifested. I'm going to skip here a little bit because I'm not used to the time here. Let's see. When did we? All right. We'll try to wrap this up too. In the church age, or let's see, in God of this evil age, he says, now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, if you could only believe what God has given. And he says, if you're not seated there, you won't have it. Don't have it. If you're seated there and don't believe it and afraid to move, you'll never use it. But if you're seated there, you will use it. For you're ordained to do what you do. So right now, we're seated with him. You have power. We have power and authority over every devil. He don't want you to believe that about yourself. He wants you to, Jesus wants you to believe that. The devil don't want you to believe that. You say, well, this has plagued my whole family from the lineage back. Don't look at that. Look at your other lineage, your spiritual lineage. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are the DNA of God expressed till this earth. You have a spiritual family. Visions run in your family. Overcoming runs in your family. Faith runs in your family. Oh, a rapture runs in your family. Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him. Oh, what about you? Those things run, the supernatural runs in your family. Jesus Christ has overcome every devil for you. You're seated with him. And you have authority over every devil. You don't have to bow down to anything the devil says. And if you don't get a miracle right away, you keep holding on for the promise of God. And you'll get a great, it takes greater faith to work healing than it does a miracle. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And if you're seated there with him, you will use it. You might feel like you're like Gideon was. Lord, I think you're talking to the wrong person. I've been defeated all my life. I had to hide my little bit of revelation here behind the press so the enemy wouldn't find it. And old Shamgar, defeated year after year after year after year, got up every time and flopped down and said, well, I better, yes, Mr. Devil, here you go. I won't claim the promise anymore. I promise I won't tell people there's a rapture that I'm going in. I didn't mean to testify after I got excited in church. And he just handed it over to the devil. But you don't got to do that anymore. You can claim your God-given rights. And you keep testifying for the word of God and what your promise is. And God will work it to pass. It cannot fail. Amen. Jesus Christ makes intercession upon your confession. Your confession of his word for you will bring it to pass. He intercedes with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you keep walking to the promise and your body will obey that. Healing, rapture, whatever you need to have need of. If you have need of salvation, you testify the saving grace of Jesus Christ and it works righteousness. And you keep walking with him into sanctification and on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Into revelation, into glory after glory after glory. And you'll walk into a body change. You keep walking with him. Don't look at the things of the world and follow after them. Walk with him. You are seated with him. In the church age book, you know, John saw Jesus and he fell before his feet as dead. Jesus said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. But remember, our attorney is our judge. You receive judgment at the house of God. You receive correction by the word of God. The Spirit of God comes to your heart and says, don't do that. You need to make this right. He'll say, I don't want you doing that. Well, but everybody else did that. Well, no, you and him. You walk with him. They're a child of God. God will deal with them too. But you and God, you and him are walking together. It's you and him. It's not you, him, and everybody else, though you love everybody else, and you show your support to your church and so forth. But ultimately, it's a love affair between you and him. You're walking with him. What anybody does, if they're a child of God, they'll make those things right. Don't wait for them. If you have something against somebody, you got to deal with that now in loving, sweet spirit, not in aggression and anger. And my, I hope you're going to have inspiration. Don't have to do damage control, brother. I'd hate to think that. But I'm not going to think that. God bless you. All right. But our attorney is our judge, friend. He's already judged us. He's already said we're the sinless, virtuous bride of Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The case is settled. You know, when the Supreme Court settles something and, the final decision is made, that's it. That's the law. That's what it says. Whether we agree with them or not, it's the highest court in the land. But there's a higher court than that. And we know the judge. We know the attorney in our case. And he said it is settled. It is finished. He's given us an abstract title deed. Why should the church fear? He's never failed to manifest before us. Why should it fear punishment or death? It's all been overcome. Here's the mighty conqueror. Here's the one who conquered both worlds of the seen and unseen. As we read in our scripture, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Neither height nor death or depth or principalities, things present or things to come. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's already conquered for you. You just take the victory and claim your God-given rights. The last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. He said, don't fear, John. Don't fear, little flock. All that I am, you are heir to. All of my power is yours. Mine omnipotence is yours as I stand in your midst. I have not come to bring fear and failure, but love and courage and ability. All power is given unto me, and it is yours to use. You speak the word, and I will perform it. That is my covenant, and it can never fail. This is your God-given rights. This is your inheritance as the bride of Christ. He couldn't say that to the Baptist church, the Pentecostal, or anybody else. That's only for the bride of Christ. And he said, don't fear. This is yours, but you've got to claim it. Believe it, confess it, act upon it, and let it live and be birthed into your heart. Water it with praise. Give him glory with all of your life, the life that you live. Let it reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, for your grace, for your truth. Lord, if I said anything out of the way, Lord, God, I pray you'd forgive me. Lord, I don't know where I did, but I would ask you to forgive me. Lord, we love you and thank you, Father. We want to manifest this word, Lord. It is the love of our life. We thank you for this message that you gave us. We thank you for changing our life. We thank you for giving us revelation. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your love for us. We ask you to forgive us where we come up short, Lord, where we have sinned. Lord God, where we come short in many times, many days, many times a day sometimes, Father. We do ask you to forgive us. Do we plead the blood of Jesus Christ? Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for not always claiming our God-given rights. We ask you, Lord God, to forgive us when we listened to the lie of the devil. And Lord, we thought it had to be that way because it has always been that way. But Lord, tonight we are claiming it is still a lie, no matter how long it has gone on. We cast that down tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live with that sin any longer, the besetting sin, the habit. We don't have to live with unbelief. We don't have to live with contention, Lord God. Oh, Father, forgive us for not realizing who we are at times. Lord, when we maybe took a punch and we forgot to keep guarded, but the blood of Jesus Christ and prayer, and it knocked us sideways. It caused us to stagger, Lord. Forgive us, Father. We're willing to get back up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A righteous man, though he falls 7 times, he will get back up. Lord God, forgive us. We plead thy blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive us each one, Lord God. No matter what the case is, Lord, it's not too hard. Lord, whoever has that drawing at their heart, let them realize that is you still loving them, that they're still your child, that is still you calling them, that you want to say, come back to me, that I love you. I didn't stop loving you. My love for you has not changed. Lord, your love for us does not change. Your thoughts for us do not change. Satan would like to battle people out of their victory. He calls many to think they've crossed the line, that we're in menopause. And under the sermon of the prophet of God, he said, you're just nervous. It's just your nerves. Oh, that'll come back to you. You'll get your joy back. And it came back every time, Lord. Oh, thus saith the Lord, never fails. And it won't fail for us today. We are your children, Lord. We are your prophetic people, that a prophetic class of people to receive the prophet's word, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we realize these things in the heat of the battle, in the dreariness of the overtime at the workplace. Lord, when the atmosphere is gloomy, you are our light. You drive away the darkness. May we steal away in prayer and say, Lord, I love you. And begin to change that atmosphere of darkness, where the people are cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain. They don't care. They're promoting the evils of the sodomite condition of this world and all the ungodly things of Laodicea, and to warp the people's mind. May we, as miniature creators, claim our God-given rights and create another atmosphere that will drive away the cockroaches of the devil and the spiders of the evil forces of Satan. And let the light of God shine forth and transform lives around us. As written epistles, read of all men, a light, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Lord God, forgive us when we come up short and think we're just human beings. And we forget that we are divine creatures of eternity. Oh, we've come to live a human experience, but not like the rest of the world, but that of overcomers. Lord, we need reminded because we forget that we bypassed our theophany to become here, to test and to be tried, that we can have character to reign with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, how much we need that. Forgive us when we come up short, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we get discouraged at the doctor's report and we fail to testify. Thank you, but I have another promise, and I'm going to hold on to it. And I'll come back by His grace to give you the good report of the Lord. And you can take that x-ray, and that cancer won't have to be there anymore. Oh, the other thing that you say I'll have to have, that it's all in my family, it could be gone. The doctors don't have to explain it, how it left. The promise said, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. God bless you. If anyone would like prayer, we'd pray with you. But remember, laying hands won't do that unless you believe that for yourself. We'll pray with you. We'll lay hands on you. Whatever would encourage you. But accept the promise of God that is for you. I say, God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. Come over, brother.